Hey y'all, we are Back to the Basket, a weekly NBA podcast where we discuss and dissect the best league in the world. I'm your host, Wahaj, and with me today, like every week, it's Kevin, aka Lil Kev. What's good?
Hello, world.
And it's Richard, aka Richie Rich.
Who has the belt edition?
So, we're getting to some really good teams from last year. We're doing our season previews as always. And let's knock three more teams down.
Let's do it.
First up are the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, man.
Eastern Conference champions.
Tell me what they did last summer, please.
This summer. This summer they added Sam Ducker.
Oh.
Decker. Channing Frye, who was a free agent. And David Nwaba. They drafted Colin Sexton with a number 8th pick.
All right. The infamous Nets pick.
They lost Jose Calderon, who signed with the Pistons, Jeff Green, who signed with the Wizards, and
some guy
named Kendrick Perkins, who was waived.
Yeah.
LeBron James also left, which wasn't in the headlines, but we do a deep cut here.
Yeah, no, we really try to give you the best.
Yeah, we try to give the fans what they want. Also, Akara White was waived. Really big deal.
Three big losses. Well, all five.
All of them. Jeff Green was the
four
biggest.
Four big losses and LeBron James.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's we're trying to get it all out with the LeBron thing. This is not going to be about LeBron. This is going to be about what they did this summer to recover from LeBron.
Yeah, because I think they're trending up, maybe.
Up is a key word, which is not agreeable.
Really?
Kevin Love as your major piece?
No, Chetty Osman is your major piece.
Sorry. The Turkish Delight?
Yeah, maybe.
Big Turk? What's the nickname now?
That guy who played with KD, Kawhi, and LeBron.
He doesn't shoot up, though.
Yeah.
You got to shoot up, Chetty.
He's too excited.
Chetty, you got to shoot up. If your best player is starstruck, then what's going to happen in the regular season?
Well, then just switch him out with your number 8 draft pick, Colin Sexton.
All right. So, how are we grading this offseason for the Cleveland Cavaliers? Did they recover well enough?
You know what? I think to begin this basis of, you know, grading their offseason, you have to go back to the trade deadline. And there are a lot of teams that wanted this Nets pick, the infamous Nets pick that was a part of so many trade offers. And they held on. You know, rightfully they held on because they ultimately kind of had a sense that LeBron was going to stay. And I'm glad they did because they drafted a hell of a player in Colin Sexton out of it. And I think they would have been a lot worse off if they had traded that pick.
I think that's a great point. I think they started making the moves before LeBron had already left because there was a big chance that he might. And right. He did. So I give kudos to
Kobe Altman.
I said David Griffin.
Yeah, it can't be
the owner, yeah. Dan Gilbert.
Sorry.
Comic Sans MS kid, Dan Gilbert.
So yeah, I mean, I wasn't really high on Jeff Green as people seem to be. So
spotty at best at times.
I'm not mad at what they lost. I'm really happy with what they gained. And also, like Kevin suggested, they gained Kevin Love for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
So again, retaining Kevin Love,
it's a high, it's a high level player to retain in the offseason.
No doubt, but also it also indicates that you know there's a direction that they're heading. They want to make the playoffs. They don't want to be bad. If they make the playoffs, they're going to be at best the 8th or the 7th seed, first round exit. I'm looking at it.
Yeah,
but they want to stay in retention. According to Tristan Thompson, they're the top of the East.
And the move The small move of adding Channing Frye back to your team, even though he was there as like a LeBron piece initially, he became more of like a very much a friend and good teammate to Kevin Love. And what this shows me is that there's a willingness for them to give a good product to their season ticket holders, which I think, you know, usually we talk about winning here, but when something like this happens to a fan base that this has happened to before, you want to know that you're not heading into the dark ages of three first round, like number one first round picks.
I mean, it all depends on what your fan base mindset is. We're all about that here. But more importantly, do they want to lose, be mediocre, or rebuild? Like, I think the direction's very clear from Kobe Altman and Dan Gilbert is that they don't want to disappoint their fans But in reality, personally, for myself, rebuild is the button you should hit immediately after a player like LeBron leaves, which they are not doing. So kudos to that in some way, but ultimately, I don't think it's the wisest decision to commit to Kevin Love for so long.
Okay.
Because he has seen a regression in a lot of his, offensive game. But then again, he also took a backseat to LeBron and Kyrie, so we're going to see how much of that is actually true and how he blossoms into a player one role.
Yeah. Right. I think blossoming is a little bit generous, but he'll probably fill.
You don't think he'll blossom?
Yeah, I think he'll fill into that.
I really think it's weird just to even think about the fact that, you know, a couple years ago, this team had LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and we were all saying, oh, Kevin Love is the piece. He's going to be traded. He's going to be this. He's going to be out of here. But all these players left, and look who remains.
Well, he's
Kevin Love for the next 5 years.
I felt sorry for him then. I feel more sorry for him now because they were like, hey, guess what? We're jumping ship. You're all alone here. And even though he was the guy who had to fit in.
Yeah, he took the most shit. Like, I'm just going to swear because, yeah, he took the most shit from everyone. And now he is the face of that team. So.
Yeah.
But I think he took a little shot at LeBron and Kyrie by, you know, when he signed his contract, he made it into like this, hey, look, I'm a man of the people. I got like construction workers behind me. Like, this city is behind me. Y'all left, but this city still believes in me. So, I mean, good for him for committing to it. I give a lot of props to the guy. I've always been a fan. So let's see if he goes back to Minnesota, Kevin Love, who didn't crack the playoffs. Let me just put it that way. But also, he didn't have a coveted point guard like Colin Sexton. I mean, he did have Rubio, I guess.
Yeah, well,
but it was young Rubio.
Yeah, so Rubio. If he had Rubio now, then it'd be different.
But. All right. So looking at the salary situation for the Cleveland Cavaliers, how bad is it, or how good is it?
13th highest paid team in the league.
Middle of the pack.
Yeah, just around there in the middle. Their top paid player, $24 million salary for Kevin Love, who's on a deal he's signed until about 22-23 season, so.
And there's no options there. That's just a straight locked in.
Yep.
That's probably his last contract. He is locked.
George Hill at $19 million.
That's high.
Tristan Thompson at $17 million. JR at $14 million. Jordan Clarkson at $12 million. Kyle Korver at $7.5 million. Colin Sexton on a rookie deal, $4 million. Rodney Hood at 3.4. Chetty Osmond at 2.7. Sam Decker at 2.7. Channing Frye on a veteran's minimum. Larry Nance, a really good contract at 2.2. Ante Zizic at 1.9. And David Nwaba at 1.5 also. They also have Isaiah Taylor making the same amount. So up and down, JR is not a good deal. Also, mainly because he's locked in for the next season as well, even though we're only focusing on this year. So Kyle Korver, not an upsetting deal in any way.
No.
Tristan Thompson looks like an ugly deal for JR and Tristan for the most part.
Well, those are the clutch deals that you...
Also, LeBron got them paid, right?
Damn.
So these are like remnants of what LeBron has left behind.
Yeah, but you're starting to see... if not in terms of how much they're being paid, but you're starting to see the bare bones of like what their young roster could be, right? Like they have Sam Decker, Chetty Osmond, Sexton, like we mentioned. Like that's the core, even though you're playing Kevin Love a lot of minutes, these are the people who you ultimately want to be developing and are saving money in the future for.
All right, so Kevin and Richard, let's play a game. Let's do a best and worst contract for this Cleveland Cavaliers roster.
Okay.
All right. Worst contract. I'm going to go start off low with that one and go Tristan Thompson. He just doesn't have the game that he had when he got that contract.
He's still talking the talk, though.
He talks a lot of the talk. He still thinks they're the Eastern Conference champions, and rightfully so they are. But, I mean, $18 million salary, basically, and I don't think he puts up the type of numbers or impact towards a game that $18
million... Not anymore. Player, not anymore he doesn't.
Not anymore.
So, what's your best contract for this team?
Best contract? I would have to say is Chetty Osmond at 2.7.
Oh, interesting call. You think his ceiling is high?
I mean, would you consider the goat to be high?
Turkish goat.
Yeah.
Come on, boys. We're talking about Jerry Osman.
Yeah, he's pretty good. All right, Richard, let's take your picks. I would say J.R. Smith is probably the worst contract in my opinion. And I am a fan of J.R. Smith, but I just don't know what he brings to this team anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like yes, the three-point shooting, but now that there's no one drawing someone away from him, it's going to be so... Like he's going to have to be making those J.R. Smith shots all the time, which is unrealistic. They're not going to use him that much. I think the best contract for me, maybe just because I'm a little bit high on him, is Sam Dekker from when he was in Houston. I kind of liked what I saw from him. And they have a team option, so if it works out for him this year, they could just lock him in for another and just mess around and see what they like.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You guys both went with low-key players that I wasn't expecting. For me, the best contract, I'll start with the best because I'm a positive guy.
All
right. I'm going to go with, Rodney Hood. I still think he's got some left in the tank.
Really?
And him coming back for two, very cheap. Also, this is a very obvious answer, but Colin Sexton on a rookie deal, he could be your second option easily with the motor he has. I mean, the guy played in college, played a 3-on-5 game. And
he almost brought them back.
Yes. So he has the ability, and he's got a motor like Westbrook. So the guy is going up and down. I'm a big fan, even though he's not the best guard out of the draft, in my opinion. But on this team, man, with some old guys, I think he's going to be a rising star.
Random question. Top three guards in the draft.
I put Shai Gilgeous above Colin Sexton.
Shai Gilgeous is your top draft guard this draft?
I wouldn't put... what's the guy's name? The Hawks draft.
Trae Young.
Nah, not that high on
You're
that
not
guy.
Putting Trae Young? I got Trae Young number one. Wow. Top guards of the
draft.
Well,
see, I'm a Dallas guy, so the fact that we traded up to not get him was my indication that I'm not so high on the guy. I've seen him... he's shown flashes of shooting and passing. Yeah. But he's got a lot of weaknesses in this game. Atlanta doesn't agree with me, but this is not an Atlanta podcast. So
it's true.
Also, great question. I think Shai Gilgeous, and then it's Trae Young, and then I'm going to put Colin Sexton in the third spot.
Third spot above Lonnie Walker, above...
Lonnie Walker's not a guard. I think for his size and length, Colin Sexton, to me, is something that the Cavs really need. Because you lost Kyrie, George Hill didn't really come in and provide exactly what you were looking for. So he's going to slide into that role really well. I don't know if you guys agree as much as I do, but I think I'm a big fan. So moving forward, yes. Cavs have a bright future because of the moves they've made past or recovering from LeBron.
Yeah.
It all starts with not trading that Nets pick.
That's very true. That's a very, very, very great point that you brought up in the beginning, is that they started their offseason before LeBron had left.
Right.
Which was, some people would say by doing that was an incentive for him to leave, but it's fine.
All right, so we're going to move on to our fan questions now.
Yeah, and they actually...
thankful for them to...
Responded quite well.
Exactly.
We got quite a few responses.
The first question was, who's the team's MVP? And that should be Kevin Love, right?
What about Chetty Osman?
Well, yeah, the top voted joke answer is Chetty Osman, but...
That's an answer for everything, Kev.
It's got to be Lil' Kev.
That's you. Kevin Love. More Kevin Love.
Anyone for Sexton, really? No one?
Somebody said Lil' Kev. Chetty, all the way. Yeah, so it's Kevin and Chetty. He's your Turkish MVP, and then Kevin Love's your real MVP.
Team MVP, yeah.
Now, what about who the Cavs think is going to make the biggest improvement this year?
Chetty?
I think that one realistically is Chetty Osman.
Chetty Osman.
Chetty, Nance, Tristan Thompson. I don't agree with that.
No,
JR.
Tristan Thompson has no offensive.
George Hill and Chetty Osman. George Hill is not improving anymore. He is who he is.
I mean, he might change his hair color again.
Tristan Thompson, not going to improve. Sorry. Rodney Hood, I kind of agree with that. Pretty much all of our young guys, so young core. Hey, I didn't say my worst contract. You just know. Going back, that was Jordan Clarkson. Sorry.
Really? Moving
on. Sorry, Philippines.
It's fine. I'm like, I do it out of like
12-5.
Obligation.
12-5 for Jordan Clarkson? Nah. Pass. Hopefully Chetty. Tristan Thompson will have a comeback year, much better than last year, but won't significantly improve over his 2015 to 2017 campaigns. Okay, not mad at that answer. Chetty Osman, first Chetty. Chetty Osman or Hood. So it's all
really? Chetty Osman or Hood. No one's mentioning Larry Nance? Larry Nance is still on this team, right?
No, they said all of our young guys. A few mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of them. Mentioned.
Like, Larry Nance was good for them. Like, he was the part that won out in that trade. Like, Jordan Clarkson, they kind of just threw in. But Larry Nance will be good for them.
Looking up on down the roster, this is not a bad team, right? By any means.
It's not bad.
Well, they're not a top-tier team, but they're not.
Not as bad as I thought going in it would be.
It's going to be potentially playoff caliber.
Like, this is not...
Like, barely, right?
Like, this is not... This is not like a Magic's roster. Do you know what I mean? Like, this isn't like this is
what did Orlando ever do to
nothing,
you?
Nothing. They took all of our lovely, like, not necessary Toronto players.
He took away our father.
It's true, that's true. They did. But
your father.
This is like a team that will win basketball games on purpose.
All right. Accidentally on purpose?
Some teams do that. We watched the press this happen.
Orlando doesn't do that, I guess. That's what you're trying to say.
Well, I'm not trying to trash them.
Alright. The third question is, what is the team missing the most? And one of the answers was a second superstar.
Man.
Wow.
An answer was good coach.
Wow. Chetty Strikes Back is...
That's what the team is.
I see what he's doing with those answers. Okay.
Yeah, you got it, right?
Yeah. Player development, coaching, an effective team system that gets the most out of our talent. Behind the scenes culture, front office stuff. Bracket LeBron James.
Nice. Very timely.
Yeah.
Stars and a brilliant coach. Let's see what Lou can do now that he's on full control.
Let's see what Lou can do.
I mean,
that should be their catchphrase for the season.
Okay.
Or the catchphrase should be like, get LeBron back. So one of the fans answers LeBron James.
Yeah.
Not mad at that. One fan said, I have no answer because we need to see how this team performs first.
Okay.
So nothing is missing. We have everything until we start playing. And then when the team doesn't work out, we're missing a ton of stuff.
That's a good mentality to have, to be honest.
Hey, tell that to Kings fans.
I try to.
They don't listen.
Every episode.
On record, me shouting to the Kings.
Again, with the Brownie shout out. So, Bron, they're going to miss Bron, right? We're all going to miss Bron in the Eastern Conference, except the Raptors.
I mean, there was a big poster of him.
I'm not going to miss him, man.
No, you're not. I know.
There was a big poster of him.
Let me tell you, I'm not going to miss him.
So, what are the Cavs fans excited for? They're excited for young players. Richard, like you said.
Learn
all of that young core. J.R. Smith is playing for a new contract / having his contract picked up. I think he's going to be the leader. I can't finish that sentence. Please be coherent in some way. He can't be the leader of any team.
I mean, Nuggets?
Knicks?
That's a celebration.
That man can fly.
NFA Bricky 55 says, to see if Ty Lue can actually coach. Zizic, Sexton, Jetty development, and if we can acquire another draft pick.
I mean, there are rumors that Tyler is actually like
is that,
very
that
confident.
That answers what we're missing the most, not what we're excited for. Like, the guy just answered the third question again. Anyway, we're not mad at it. Whatever answer comes. They're also excited for Chetty Osman plus Colin Sexton. Sexton sweeping Toronto in the first round because Dino is back.
Oh my God.
That's real.
That's an answer, Kevin.
That guy's putting you on notice, Kevin.
I bleeped out the F word. This guy went hard. Number four, it's grittiness and energy. Also Sexton.
Grittiness, I wouldn't say, but sure. I'll take it.
Smith is playing for a new contract / having his contract picked up. I think he's going to be the leader of our team.
That's what I just said. And it's absurd. I couldn't even finish that thought. Another fan said he's super pumped just to see what they are. Will K-Love step back up? Can we learn to play as a team and use a system? Ty Lue will show whether he can coach or not, but most of all our young guys, especially the young bull. Colin Sexton being the young bull. Seeing young guys like Nance, Sexton, Osman, Hood, Nwaba, Decker, Clarkson play. Clarkson is last on that list for a reason.
Yeah.
Return of the Chetty.
Chetty.
I didn't want to say Chetty, sorry. Laid back attitude, less pressure to go to the finals. Chetty, not Tristan Thompson, doesn't think
nice.
So.
Must be nice to say, oh, we won't go to the finals this year. That's okay. Must be nice.
How about this? Predicted number of regular season wins.
That's a hard one to predict, right?
It is. Especially losing a guy like LeBron. Like, how much value does he really bring to the team? Just intangible numbers, really.
What's interesting to me is that we're saying that this is a brink playoff team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the fans are saying 39 to 40 wins. That's going to be under 500 making the playoffs. So is the East really that bad that the top eight teams are not even above 500?
I mean,
I think the Raptors are going to get so many wins and the Celtics towards the top that, you know, there's not going to be that many wins towards the 7th.
It's top heavy. It's a top heavy.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. The Raptors.
So, like, the spots 5 to 8 are going to be up for grabs.
I would think so.
No, because we're putting Washington, like we were talking early in another episode, Washington would be like around that 5. So I would say maybe, I think it's 6 or 8 will be kind of weird.
Okay. And the team that cracks that 7th, 8th spot could be the Cavs with less than 42 wins.
Yeah, could be the Cavs, could be Detroit. Maybe.
A fan said 45, shocking the league. 41, 32. Wow, 32, this fan's like pretty low on his team. 47, 27 to 35, 35, 38, 40, 42, 40 to 35, 38. So fans are being realistic here. They're like, LeBron's gone. We know where the team stands. We can't win that many games.
Let's say 36 and a half.
You like your halves.
No, I'm going to go down on that.
I'm going to go over. Say 39.
Yeah.
You're going under on 36 and a half?
Yeah, I don't know why 32 is speaking to me today, but that's like realistic. I feel like they're going to learn a lot about themselves. They're going to have a lot of fun.
Even with a Kevin Love-led team, maybe
32? I'm going to stick to that right now, but let me see him. Let me see how he actually plays.
Isn't JR leading the team?
Yeah. And with that, I'm going to go and say under. I'm going to say they get about 28 wins.
Yeah. 28?
Yeah.
Wow,
well,
man.
Yeah, catch me on a bad day in 28.
They're not winning at all. That's not a playoff basketball team.
No.
But they could be.
That's how I really feel about the Cavs.
Which is strange.
Wow, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we're going to wrap this part, and we're going to move on to our next team.
Who are they?
This is all you, Richard.
Oh, my God.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Oh, my God.
All
I've been waiting my whole
season.
Life.
Not okay. Whole life. Just the offseason.
Yeah, just the offseason. Yeah. All right. Let's see who's found a jumper this offseason.
What did they do?
Ben Simmons.
Yeah, what did they do? I'll run us through what they did last summer.
But did Markel find a jumper?
He did.
Okay.
In preseason, he
still got
a
hitch in it, from what I've seen.
All right. So they added Wilson Chandler in their trade to the Nuggets. They added Mike Muscala. What they got from the Hawks trade.
Like that guy.
Yeah. They drafted Zaire Smith, which I was surprised about when they did that.
They drafted Mikal Bridges.
With the number 16 pick. They, that was through trade.
Mikal Bridges, who they drafted, and then they traded him and his mother over to Phoenix.
They did him dirty.
Yeah, so they got, Landry Shamet with the number 26, Shake Milton with the 54 pick.
What a name. His name is Shake.
That's a sick name. It's a pretty 2K name, but it's nice.
If he's not Shaken, then something. Like,
yeah.
Wrong.
Shake Milton.
All right. They lost Justin Anderson in their trade to the Hawks. They lost one of the mercenaries from Colangelo's tenure, Marco Bellinelli. He re-signed with the Spurs. Rashawn Holmes was traded to the Suns, and the last of the sort of hired guns, Ersan Ilyasova, moved on to the Bucks. And then, as we mentioned in an earlier episode, Timothy Luau-Cabarrut was traded to the Thunder, so they lost one of their
safeties.
Yeah, free safeties, sort of up and coming 3-and-D guys. And they also gained a general manager,
Elton Brand.
Congratulations!
Yeah, so that's very exciting. And his commitment was to earning the trust of the players, which for some reason was lost. I can't possibly know why.
They did a lot in the offseason without having a general manager.
Yeah, this was all engineered by Brett Brown.
So either and it's going to be a fail.
Front office.
Yeah, either it's going to be a success or a failure. We're still waiting on
We're still waiting on LeBron James to sign.
Yeah, they're still making space.
Yeah.
Allegedly, they're still trying to make space for him to sign.
So who do we like the most with who the Philadelphia 76ers brought on, and who do we hate the most?
You know, I think their greatest addition will be this year, Markelle Fultz.
That's a real.
That's a real.
We did not mention.
That's a real answer. He apparently has longer hair and gained a jump shot.
Yeah.
And it will be eligible for the Philadelphia 76ers version of a rookie year.
He started the first preseason game. He took a few jumpers, made one of them. But
there you go.
That's a start.
Yeah, and aside from the sort of redshirting, I actually think Wilson Chandler will be nice for them.
He is injured to start the season. Hopefully recovers soon, I believe 4 to 6 weeks.
I mean, Zaire is gone, too. That's going to be a red shirt, right?
Oh, it's as is tradition.
Yeah, they kind of just invent reasons.
I like Landry Shamet with the 26th. Like,
really?
The late first round. Yeah, I've seen a few videos, and I liked what I saw. Like, this guy's very agile. You know, I don't think... on a podcast prior, I had mentioned that I think they would miss Marco Bellinelli and Ilyasova in some ways.
I would agree with you, but if you're changing your opinion...
No, I'm not changing it, but when I was on a pod on the Atlantic Files with Mike Bash and Alex, they were... Alex is a hardcore Sixers fan, and he was saying that, you know, he thinks they won't be missed as much because of, like, how the players have developed.
No, I think they will.
And I disagreed hard, and yeah. I still do. I really honestly think that the three-point shooting with J.J. Redick and Marco Bellinelli was, like, insanely awesome.
And Ersan is, like, pretty decent with that. So.
Takes the second most charges in the NBA. He's a very
hustle-oriented
player.
Exactly. Why won't you want to give Ben Simmons more weapons to pass to? Right?
Like, yeah. It's sort of weird that they've narrowed the profile of the weapons that they have, even though you would say their offensive tools are more developed. There's just less options, even though they're deeper options.
Also, I think they just wanted to get away from the Brian Colangelo era. They just like, let's wipe the clean slate, let's start off.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much their sort of offer, and yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on to the salary part of the Philadelphia 76ers 2018-2019 year. So, and
where do they rank, Kevin, in terms of salary for the league?
The Philadelphia 76ers actually are doing okay on the salary front. They are
they have 26th. A really decent payroll.
Yeah. 26th.
Wow, I wonder who cleared all that cap space for them.
Brian Colangelo?
I wonder who they cleared it all for.
So Joel Embiid making
Mike
25.
Mike Muscala, of course. Yeah.
Wilson Chandler, well, that's a big drop-off. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so it's pretty much Wilson Chandler is making not even half what Joel Embiid is making. So
and that's a contract from Denver. That's not even your contract.
Yeah.
You just took it on. JJ, with a new deal, I mean, he was making 22, so a great discount, even though he hasn't really regressed. I mean, we're going to see how much he regresses from last year. But, you know, he's a shooter and he's a mover. So I don't think that's going to diminish
his
capacity.
He's taken great pains to take care of his body, so we'll see how that goes.
And then Rocco with a very cheap deal.
Yeah.
That's a solid deal.
Solid
3D
guy.
Prime?
Since so many teams want to get a 3D guy.
Yeah, oh, we need wing depth. They have it right here.
Jared Billis, Philly
legend.
They didn't
need to get Paul George. They have Robert Covington.
Nice. Jared Bayless at 8.5, Markel on a rookie deal at 8.3, Ben Simmons making less than Markel.
Wow.
6.4.
Number one overall draft pick money.
Yes. Mike Muscala signed a 5-year deal. Dario Saric, again, a great contract.
Love Dario.
For the next 3 years, well, the last one is the player option. Wait, what is the second one?
Team option.
Team option. Okay. They'll pick it up for sure. Zaire Smith, redshirted. Amir Johnson on a veterans minimum. Furkan at 1.7, Landry Shamet at 1.7, and Jonah Bolden at 1.6. TJ McConnell.
And TJ McConnell rounding that down at the bottom.
Again, a great value for the production.
Yeah, pretty much their hero for most of last year.
So, man, this salary looks really promising, right? At least for this year. It looks great.
It's really good.
Who do you... This is going to be hard to answer. What is the worst contract on this team?
Worst contract on this team, J.J. Redick.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's real.
For value, eh?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't play any defense. He's got the wingspan of a T-Rex. But he shoots, so he's got that going for him.
Oh, he's got something going for him.
Well,
He just said it like he's so bad.
One of the premier three-point shooters in this league.
Oh, so. He's a specialist.
Yeah.
I would say Jared Bayless, because I think TJ McConnell is just a better point.
Sixers have been ready to move on from Jared Bayless for quite some time. So.
He doesn't want to leave.
Yeah, he's still cashing those checks.
Dang, keep getting them checks.
Yeah.
Kevin, your worst contract was, you already said, so Richard, what's yours?
Let me see here.
You said Ben Simmons or something.
I don't... You know, no, it's more like... I don't really know, now that we have Mike Muscala, Wilson Chandler, like, what you're really getting out of Amir, but it's, like, great. It's fine.
It's not that bad. Yeah, okay, so overall, a general healthy situation for Philadelphia moving forward.
Yeah.
With opening up a cap, like a max cap spot.
Yeah, I mean, you could pay T.J. McConnell more, but that's
fine. You will have to, because Jared Bayless comes off the book next year, so you don't really have a backup, and you'd rather pay T.J. than you pay Jared.
Yeah. Next year, you're going to have to offer a major max extension to Ben Simmons. As well.
So, I mean, they're ready for it.
Yeah, no,
they've been ready.
Definitely. So it's going to change the
dynamic, yeah.
The dynamic of the roster in terms of at least salaries.
All right. So now we're going to move on to our fan-based mindset. Reddit questions. And the first question is, obviously, who is the team's MVP? Should be no... Wait, actually, is this another 1A, 1B?
No, yeah, we get banned.
It's okay if we got banned. We still have the answers that the fan responded to. We're not going to get into the banning situation too much. We love the fans, and thank you for the support.
Yeah. It's just sometimes it's a little bit difficult to be a growing podcast and trying to promote yourself. You just run into the rules a little bit.
Yeah, we had a couple of roadblocks, but you know, we're gonna keep at it, because I feel like we have a lot to offer.
Yeah, for sure.
So the number one answer was Embiid. He will also finish third in league MVP voting. Well, this is very concrete. It's going to be third. No more, no less.
Well, who do you have to get through? You have to get through Anthony Davis and...
James Harden.
Kawhi Leonard. And
Kyrie.
Steph KD, depending on health.
Yeah. All right, well.
Okay, Embiid is the clear answer. Joel. It's all Embiid. I'm surprised no Ben Simmons here. But, you know, Ben Simmons doesn't provide you the scoring as much, so yeah. I get it.
And also the sort of vocal leadership that Joel provides, even to the fans.
That's very true. The number second question was, who's the most improved player? And that answer is Fultz. Fultz is the obvious answer, because I'm going to say Simmons. If he adds even a halfway respectable jump shot and brings his free throw percentage up to 65 to 67 range... Very specific. His shooting will jump over 20 points per game for Fultz. Wow. That's quite a prediction. Fultz. I hope it's Fultz. Markel is the obvious choice. If not him, Forcan. Forcan's first year in the league. How can he? What? Okay, so Fultz is, again, a very clear-cut answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, the third question would be, what is the team missing the most?
I mean, just circling back to that Fultz answer, he was their number one overall draft pick. They tanked an entire season for this draft pick. So
you better show up and produce.
Yeah. So I mean, if he just went through that redshirt year where he's had the yips, he doesn't have a jump shot. All this weird things happened last year. If he's not the greatest improved player this year, then
He didn't play.
Right? He didn't play.
So, I mean, like it's exactly. only like. You only go up from rock exactly. bottom.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that was exactly rock bottom, but I saw that jump shot. Third question, obviously, was what is the team missing the most? And that is off the dribble shot creation on the wings. Very specific answer.
Yeah, it's true, because they just have pretty much off-ball movers for Embiid.
Yeah, Rocco is a pretty good off-ball mover, but...
Yeah, again, he can't really create his own offense, right? Really, he's not a shot creator. We have Fultz this year. He might not be 100% of what we were expecting right out of Washington, but his playmaking will open up a lot for the offense. Another answer was playmaking shot creation on the perimeter. Very common answer. The thing our team is missing the most, a shot creator from the wing. Hopefully Markel can be that guy.
All right. He's their point guard.
Another answer is Fultz. Fultz is missing the most.
Yeah.
He's back in action now. So, yeah, I mean, we all agree.
He could be their X factor this year, for sure.
They needed an X factor in that playoff series.
Yeah, just because they were running into this thing where you kind of actually looked a little bit better when Ben Simmons was off the floor, but you still needed to find a way to give Embiid a little bit of a relief line. So it'll be interesting to see.
Shoot it, you coward.
Yeah.
So what are they most excited for?
Tell me.
A fan said how good Embiid is going to be after a healthy offseason.
Yes.
People know he's good, but he is going to blow everyone away. Another answer was Embiid with a full offseason to work on his game. Seriously, he hasn't had a chance to work on the entire summer and go into training camp 100% at health. He's going to start the season on fire. Somebody also said Fultz. Another answer is if Fultz can be a respectable shooter. The only thing I'm most excited for this season, development of the young guys. Fultz is another answer. So people just want to see Fultz play.
That's all. When you're the number one pick,
you want to see him play. No more red shirt, Philadelphia, after this year, obviously. So what are we looking at for prediction?
So the fans have spoken. They have said, top answer was 55 wins. Predicted number of wins from Lil Introvert.
Great name.
That's a sick awesome name. I'm going to buy that from him.
You know? predicted number of wins, 53. Arbor Hawkins says 47. We got another answer here saying 53, and Ivan Cleary says 55. So generally around 53 to 55. Let's go 54.5. What's your over and under?
Now let's go with Richard because this is his team.
Richard, this
so
is
I'm
you.
Gonna, I'm it
has to be.
You on the
it has to be 53, just because I have expectations for what the number one and two seed will be. But 53 seems like a decent amount to put them in the three seed. So I'm gonna say that.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Let's give them 55.
Yeah, I'm going over 54.5. Going 55.
Okay.
56.
Even. I think there's going to be Fultz will be there, but I also think there will still be some weirdness with that. I'm not fully convinced that it's over.
We got a lot of what's weirder coming for you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the drama should be over. Let's move on to another team. Let's talk about the Kings or something.
Or like the Celtics, like a team on the same tier.
A tier below the Raptors, right? Just say that.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to say.
Well, when you're like Kevin and looking from the top.
Don't worry about what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So.
I love it. It's fine.
I love it too. Well, me and Kevin agreed on something that's pretty cool. 55 wins seems very, very likely. Also, I think Embiid can just add 4 or 5 more to it. Not to 55, but like when they get to 50 wins, I think Embiid will win you 4 or 5 games on his own.
Or maybe if he starts practicing this year,
stop eating cheeseburgers on the massage table.
Well, he needs to stop eating cheeseburgers, and Markel needs to stop going to Chick-fil-A. That's really
Chick-fil-A is really good.
I know
nothing wrong
good.
With Chick-fil-A, man.
they support a few things that I'm not a big fan
and the only way you can get it in Canada is if you fly to Calgary.
Oh, they're also opening a Chick-fil-A in Toronto.
Oh, there you go.
Nice little tidbit. All right, so the third team on the docket is. Is it the third team or the second team?
In the East?
They're second team in the East. That's that
show. It's a third team on our list today, the storied Boston Celtics.
I just lobbed that up for Kevin to dunk.
The lob and the jam.
Yes. All right. So I know you don't want to talk. You just want to skip this? You just want to sit this one out?
We can bench you for a little bit. I'm sure he wants to talk about the contract.
I got lots to talk about.
But let's hope it's all PG, right?
Okay.
Like Jaylen Brown's free throw shooting.
Oh. So immediately, I said just get it all out at once, and then we can talk about Celtics as a roster.
We'll get to it.
Okay. So let's... Tell me about this summer. Tell me what kind of summer has it been.
We know what you did this summer,
Danny
Boston
Ainge.
Celtics.
Pretty much just Danny Ainge.
There's nobody else.
They added a legend, Brad Wanamaker.
He wants to make it.
I guess so.
He wants to make it.
Robert Williams. Hey, Robert Williams was a highly touted prospect.
How high is he?
27 high.
Oh.
But... The problem is that his attitude is an issue, and then he missed the plane ride, and there was a whole controversy.
A lot of weed.
Yeah, sure. Which is not necessarily a bad thing anymore in the NBA, because a lot of players do.
Or in Canada, for that matter.
But you're in a state where it's not legal. So let's keep it that way. Not that I care about those things. They lost Shane Larkin, signed to play in Turkey.
That's a loss.
Great, Shane. Greg Monroe signed with the Raptors.
He's going to tell them all the plays.
Yes. So, not a lot going on for Danny Ainge this offseason because he's done a lot more last year. Who stands out, if anybody, really?
I think Gordon Hayward and his return stands out. You know, him missing... He played about 5 minutes for the entirety of last season, yeah. And that's probably one of the most gruesome injuries I've ever seen live on TV. I'm sure the entire state of Boston, you know, anyone who's watching that game, you know, collectively groaned when they saw that. It was gruesome.
Collectively screamed. So I'm like what I did.
Yeah. Okay. Scary.
It was so scary. Bad. It was. It was terrible. His leg was facing the wrong direction. His foot was facing backwards. So it was pretty bad.
I mean, like, they didn't even show it properly. Like, they always pan the camera away. It's fine. It's all good. I mean, like, the dude lived, and he's fine. Yeah. Like, it's all good.
People, he played his first preseason game.
Paul George's injury was way worse than his. Like, he came back, and it's fine. Like, I mean, these things happen in sports, man. Like, you know what? I'm not saying, I'm not some cold-hearted SOB. I'm just saying, like, this is sports. You're getting paid $30 million a year.
No, for sure.
You can recover, and you miss 1 year of your amazing life. I'm sorry. It's fine. It's all good.
I'm just saying. I'm a bit squeamish. Is all.
This are you?
Gordon Hayward's very happy. You know, he's getting a daughter.
He plays in the NBA. He gets to play League of Legends when he goes home.
Yeah, and he plays for the best team in the East. Like it's
when did
something.
He play for the Raptors? Let me pull up some numbers.
Okay, no.
I'm going to pull up some numbers.
Are you a stats guy?
Let's see. Most wins in the East over the last six seasons. Fifth place, Boston Celtics, 262. Cavs, 268. Pacers, 278. Heat, 290. Raptors, 297. Last I checked, the Celtics weren't the best team in the East.
All right. Speaking of numbers, let's talk about the salaries with the Celtics.
Yes, let's talk about these salaries.
What kind of salaries they got?
He's giving
they
me all
have
kinds
the
of
eighth highest salary in the NBA.
They come up at 126. Gordon Hayward, the man we were just talking about, making $31 million a year.
That's like probably the highest in terms of the contracts we've discussed.
What, has he scored 20 points per game once in his career? Oh, yeah. Wait, 30.
I mean, with the shots, man. So many shots. The man just recovering from a serious leg injury.
We're taking more shots than Hayward took last season.
Al Horford.
This man All just star. This is the best joke you'll ever make. Now anything is going to be below that. So stop this. Al Horford is at 28.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then
that's like twice his points output.
There you go. That's what I queued that up again. Kyrie Irving at 20. Marcus Smart just got a new deal for 11. Thanks to Sacramento Kings. Yeah. Shout out again.
Yeah, playing poker with everyone's money.
Jason Tatum on a rookie deal at 6.7. Marcus Morris at 5.3. Aaron Baines at 5. Jaylen Brown on a rookie deal at 5.1. Terry Rozier, Scary Terry at 3. Yabusele at 2.6. Robert Williams at 1.6. Semi Ojeleye at 1.3. Daniel Theis at 1.3. And Jabari Bird at 1.3. Brad Wanamaker, I just want to say that name again, is at 838.
He wants to make it with Brad.
I don't know what... Is that sexual? Okay. So, looking up and down, what is the best contract?
Best contract? Jason Tatum at 6'7". And that's not his height. I mean, he's an absolute monster. And that's coming from somebody who's not the biggest fan of the Celtics. I'm very jealous that you have a great future star in Jason Tatum, and I think that's his best contract.
I never get enough opportunity to give some love to Jaylen Brown, who I actually think is quite an interesting cerebral player. So I'm going to enjoy seeing him as a Celtic in the future and wherever else he wishes to go. So
best contract is Kyrie for the value. I mean, if you look at who's above him money-wise, Al Horford is pivotal to this team for sure, but Gordon Hayward making a lot more than him.
Yeah.
Really goes to show that, you know, Kyrie's just waiting for another contract. And, you know, he's not in a hurry to sign an extension because he's going to explore his options.
Yeah.
Even though he's sworn his loyalties to the Celtics, I don't know how much of that is true.
Has he really, though?
He's come out and said that it would be strange to not play on such a good team.
You know, back in March, Kawhi Leonard says he will retire as a Spur.
Maybe he still will.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm just going to leave all of these on the floor.
NBA is so unpredictable that anything, not anything is possible. Anything can happen. Hey, anything can happen.
Take the words from Kevin Garnett himself. That's very Celtics true. Legend. Anything is possible.
Al Horford just seems like a bad contract.
It's big.
It's very big.
It's big. He's not that big. Like,
13, like no pun intended.
No, like actually, like in size.
Oh, okay.
13-7.
Yeah. All-star numbers.
All-star numbers. Last pick in the All-Star game.
I knew he was going to go there. So yeah, I just went there for you.
Like, I have nothing even to say to that.
I'm just like, this is Kevin's time to shine. Let's get it all out. I'm just lobbing it all up for him. Just dunk it, man.
Just live.
Just dunk it. No layups allowed.
Let me flinch like Horford.
No. Again. That wasn't even set up. All right, moving on. We went to the fans and asked them questions about their particular Boston Celtics. And the first question, obviously, is who is the team's MVP? And the fans have spoken. One has said Kyrie. Another one has said Kyrie. They expect Kyrie to actually contend for league-wide MVP.
Black Man With a Plan says Horford is the team MVP because of his defense and pure selfless veteran presence. I'd say JB and Smart are our X factors. If they're performing, they can be the fire that pulls us over. And a big problem we had last year was lacking a secondary scorer and playmaker, which Gordon should fix. All right. Kyrie, cracked brain, says Horford, is going to be the team's MVP. His scoring might drop to about 10 a game or less, but his defense, leadership, and willingness to do the grunt work are invaluable. This team can get along just fine without Kyrie.
That's interesting. Do you guys think that the team can move without Horford?
I mean,
no.
We've seen that the team without Kyrie still played at the same winning percentage and the same level. But we haven't seen this team without Horford. So okay, we can't tangibly
say. And hopefully
we
don't need to. Just because I don't like seeing anyone injured. So.
Absolutely.
That's the highest praise I've ever heard from your mouth for any Celtic. I'm not
a complete hater.
Can you pinch me here? Yeah, Kevin's unbiased opinion.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. Sometimes we might never see this again.
Like I say, sometimes I meme, but you know, I keep it real.
Sometimes. No, yeah, that's why he wouldn't be on here if he didn't have
You add a lot of value. So also Horford does add a lot of value to this team, mainly because he does the intangible things. He will set a really good screen. He can shoot the three really well.
Right. His pick and pop game?
Amazing.
Right.
But also, it's Kyrie, man.
I know. I don't know why anyone's thinking.
It's Kyrie.
Kyrie's the MVP.
Yes. Also, I think that the Boston team last year was an anomaly. Maybe they can repeat it again.
Oh, you think they're like that Heat team that went blah 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 and 50 and blah blah blah.
Everything just clicked at the right time. Nobody saw Jason Tatum performing at the level he did. So a lot of credit should go to Jason Tatum of how he went at it with LeBron. Also, I'm saying also a lot, not to discredit Horford in any way. He's really good. But I think that he can be replaced in some ways. I'm just saying that.
I mean,
Semi Ojeleye won't do that, but I'm just saying.
Aaron Baines can shoot the three, so.
What about Gershon Yabusele, who went 0-for-8 in preseason?
It's preseason, relax. All right, second question.
Question two.
Yes, who's the most improved player for the Celtics?
Who do you think this team's going to be the most improved player? We got a lot of J-A-Y players here. Jalen, Jason, and Jalen is what Black Man With a Plan says. Ojeleye, Dallas Baines says Ojeleye. Interesting. Hopefully Tatum. The last thing I want to see is Tatum turning into Tyreek Evans because of his development started out in year two.
I mean, we're just reaping praise on Tyreek Evans. So.
Yeah. I don't know how well Tatum's going to do this year given the fact that, you know, Hayward's back. There's going to be other players making up a lot more of his usage.
Really?
I mean, Tatum had a very high usage given all the injuries last year, especially with Hayward out. So I think, you know, with his usage going down.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting balancing act for them going forward. But
right.
Just because
Brad's going to have to manage some egos very soon.
Well, Gordon Hayward literally loves Brad Stevens. Like, this is not a joke.
He also loves Donald Trump. But let's
edit that out.
No edits there.
So I want to highlight this answer, which I think is comes from the White Mamba's son. He said, "That bum Gordon Hayward better average more than 2 points per game. In all seriousness, it's tough to zero in on one player. Plus, any improvements might not show up on the stat sheet. I'm going to go with the bench unit as a whole to show the most improvement."
Oh, that's interesting.
Why is he calling Gordon Hayward a bum? He's coming off a leg injury.
He's making a joke.
Is he?
Yeah, that's what he says in all seriousness right after.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, that was a joke?
Yeah, yeah, guys.
That was a joke.
Come on. Oh, I'm
sorry. But no, honestly, Jaylen already made a hell of a leap last year, but he had still pronounced weaknesses in his ball handling, playmaking, at the rim finishing, and free throws, in addition to getting more consistent in scoring in different areas of the floor. I feel we will see immense improvement in those areas because Jaylen works really hard. Jaylen works really hard, guys. Hopefully Tatum.
Jaylen's trying.
He's trying, Jennifer.
The last thing I want to see is Tatum turning into Tyreek Evans because his development stalled out in year two. This is a very well thought out answer.
Yeah, I like it.
Interesting. Biggest improvement, Jason Tatum. I think I'm going to take this to be the biggest improvement from last year's regular season because a lot of times Tatum was pretty passive. This year, coming off a fantastic postseason, I'm hoping Tatum will be a killer like Rozier says he is.
I mean,
So the young core.
The young core.
Basically what I'm getting out of all these answers.
Right.
What is the team missing the most, though? What are Celtics, because a team that's so rich in everything, what are they missing?
Tell us.
A real top five player. Wow. Kyrie's not considered a top five player?
I thought Gordon Hayward was a top five player.
Wait, Kyrie's not a top five player. Get out.
You agree with this. You agree with this answer then.
A real top five player.
If you look at the last 10 years of championships, the only teams that a team has won without a definitely top five player are probably the Mavs and Spurs. Title wins. Wow. Dirk Nowitzki wasn't a top five player?
Yeah,
wow.
What about Detroit?
And both of those teams had players that at some point in their careers would eventually be top five. Nowitzki, Duncan, Kawhi. On this year's Celtics, our best hope is Kyrie, but he has never been top five. We need to make him him to make a big jump for this thing to work. Another possibility is that Tatum keeps growing at an exceptional rate and legitimately becomes a Hall of Fame player, but that's a huge question mark.
That's a big jump.
Hall of Fame thing?
Yeah, that jumped real fast.
Somebody said chemistry and offense.
Okay.
Another one is a true lockdown wing defender, like everybody else. But, I mean, isn't Jason Tatum going to be that guy?
Yeah, he's so good.
I think it's a traditional stretch big behind Al. Thais showed improvements throughout last season, and Baines was sinking them during the postseason. Yeah, I still think we're relying on too small of a sample size when it comes to those two.
All right.
The thing our team is missing the most is a true marksman shooter. A Kyle Korver type who you can just leave open anytime and you really have to account for. Willing role players who aren't hungry for shots. An above the rim finisher and rebounder. Hopefully Rob Williams. Okay, above the rim finisher.
That's kind of...
You're going to have to show up to games and practice it, and then maybe he'll be that guy.
A rebounding lob thread. Big, but our rookie Rob Williams could be that guy, even though people don't think he'll play much. We're also missing that Redick, Bellinelli, Eglinton, Korver type shooter. I just said Eglinton.
Toronto.
Yeah, which is the station here.
Shout out to Wayne Ellington.
A better slogan than hashtag Cuss Cruz. Cuss Christ? What the hell is this?
I don't know what that's.
Oh, you know that is CS Rise.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrible slogan.
Yeah, Cuss Christ is what it looked like. Yeah.
Cuss Christ? Yeah, like sorry, Celtics fans, I'm not very aware of slogans there. Yeah. Is it Cuss Christ or is it CS Rise?
They put like one big C and then underneath, and then beside it, it was Us Rise.
Oh, so
it was
I see it.
It was like Cuss Christ.
Cuss Christ.
Because it's one big C and then Us Rise.
So there's only one C, right?
There's only one C, but
why does he write two C's then?
Because it was a big C and then
like the Celtics.
Us was a small right here and then Rise.
Oh,
small.
Gotcha.
So it was like
Cuss Christ.
Cuss Christ. Yeah.
I guess Cuss Christ is better than CS Rise.
Yeah, I guess so. Fire that whole marketing department.
I'm not shitting on you, Celtics. Only Kevin is. Alright. So the season predictions for the Celtics would be the upper echelon of Eastern Conference.
All right. Are you ready?
64.
Okay.
60 plus. 60. 52. This fan...
Cracked brain. he's got a really cracked brain if he thinks the Celtics are only going to win 52 games.
Yeah, I don't think so. 66, too high.
Hell no.
58 to 62. Yeah, so generally 60 wins we're predicting here.
60 and a half. What's your over-under?
57.
He's going under. I'm going over. I'm going to say 61, 62.
I'm going to go 59.
Hmm. Okay.
66 is too high, right?
Because the number one seed last year got 59, so I'm going to go with 59.
Yeah. I'm aware. Yeah, okay. I'm not mad at any of this. No. But, you know, Celtics are definitely going to be like, it's going to be 1-2. Realistically, Kevin, with the Raptors, I think this is going to be a battle for sure.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sorry, Sixers are going to come right in.
That's fine.
Right
it's,
in there.
It's fine.
I think 1 through jumpers. 12, so the Raptors have the edge, especially having the best players in the series. But, you know, towards the middle of the pack there, I think Celtics have the edge just on, you know, 3 through 6 players.
Yeah, they have a deep team for sure.
Yeah, they're two of the deepest teams in the East, and I think they're going to play like it.
I don't know why. I think it's just because it was so impressive that Aaron Baines just suddenly learned to shoot threes, but I'm going to be excited to see if that
continues. Everybody's suddenly learning to shoot threes.
But it was like it actually worked. Like,
JaVale McGee is shooting threes in the offseason now.
Wow.
But, you know,
everyone except Ben Simmons is shooting threes.
And Markel.
And Markel, yeah.
Ben Simmons, like, how could he come into the season like, oh, don't expect me to shoot threes, but I'm going to give you some, you know, better things.
I think it's mid-range. He means mid-range jumpers.
Maybe I mean, that's the start. That's the start, right? With DeRozan, he only had a driving game, and then he found his mid-range games, and then he sort of started.
But he became the mid-range magician.
Yeah, it's true.
I think Ben Simmons is going to have to pick which hand to shoot from before he even thinks about
it. This is also true. Like, I'm not going to defend his crazy hand choices. So.
Yeah.
October 19th is the big matchup with the Celtics and the Raptors, and I think that's going to be the tone defining setter. The season of how it's going to be.
It'll be the tone setter for what the
Cubs. I want to see those teams match up to see like how they match up with each other.
Right.
And I think because it's so early in the season, everybody's going to be like just playing hard.
Yeah, a lot of players coming back from injuries. So there's going to be a lot of rust and missed shots, but I don't think that game's going to define the season at all.
Okay. I mean, I'm saying like when it comes to those two teams as to how they play each other, defining.
It's going
to
be a good game. A lot of research points, experimentation in that game, but I think the games that the Raptors face the Celtics towards the latter part of the season, I think those are going to mean more.
Okay.
I mean, national TV games for sure.
Absolutely.
No. Yeah. Even though Toronto famously does not get any.
You know, it's okay. We'll just mooch. We just mooch off of the American teams.
We were mooching off your answers. Thank you for providing all of this. It gives us great context to talk about your teams. Even though we might not know your slogan, we definitely follow you. And even Kevin watches all the Celtics games and hates on them and stuff. But we follow them regardless, and we'll keep talking about you guys.
And that's part of the league, you know.
That's very true.
My hate for you guys, Celtics, it's all love at the end of the day.
Yeah,
you know, it's all one big basketball family.
We're all about love.
Okay, and with that, that's this week's episode of Back to the Basket podcast. Feel free to find us wherever you find your podcasts, such as the Google Store, Spotify, and the Apple Store. Feel free to interact with us wherever you find us on social media. You'll find all of our social media information in the show notes. And remember, we may have our backs to the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on our fans. See ya!